Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to have great relationships. God, I pray that you would just remind us here today that we are all on a journey. And no matter where we are in this journey of relationships, of doing life together, Father, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. I thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us and that, God, you open your word to us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Well, you may be seated. Give someone some sugar on the way down. Just an appropriate amount would be fine. Thank you, Annalise Forsyth. Amazing. Hey, if you didn't know already, many of you will be aware that Andrew and Lisa Byers are having a baby, which is really exciting. What you won't be aware of is they found out this week that they are having a baby girl. Woo! Come on. We love it. We're so excited for you guys. Amazing. Amazing. A little girl. I think Byers would be a good dad to girls. I feel like she would just be blessed and lots of cuddles. Yeah. Byers, like me, appreciates a good hug and does not have some of the spatial awareness and appropriateness that you guys have as normal people. We like invading people's personal space. And so we apologize in advance for that. Hey, we're in a great series. In fact, this is the last week. And actually, I need to do something before we move on. I just wanted to honor my mum and dad who are here today. And we just so love you, mum and dad. You're amazing. And I want to honor my dad, who's just a phenomenal man of God and just is I'm the result of their leadership and guidance in my life. And I love you, Dad, because you still pray for us every single night. My mum and dad have been staying with us for the last couple of nights, and I can still hear my dad praying, probably a little too loudly because I'm trying to go to sleep, but praying passionately for us as his kids and his grandkids, and he does that every single day. And you have modeled to me what it is to love family in the way that Christ would want us to love them. So thank you, Dad. We honor you. We love you. You're amazing. Okay. What I'm doing, by the way, is modeling what is important because relationships are crucial. They're key. They're the key to life. Key to anything. If you want to be successful in life, you have to be successful in building relationships. And Jesus was so passionate about this because he wanted us to understand that he did not come just to kind of get us individually out of our mess. He came to redeem us corporately. And by redeeming his creation corporately, he then outworks his mission and reveals his love to the world through the way we treat one another. And so relationships are not just a nice idea, they're core, they're crucial. They are all about life, but they are all about the Christian life, is the way that we love one another. In the book of John, Jesus said this, that this is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other. And last week we looked at the fact that, well, over the last few weeks, that relationships are not easy, they're complicated. And some of us make them more complicated. Any complicated people? I'm a complicated person. I apologize in advance, but my wife puts up with a lot, but it's awesome. But you know what? In the complication, God has made it simple. And so he first deals with the complications that we bring to our relationship with God. Because of our stuff, our sin, because we don't follow God's way, it's impossible for us to interact with a perfect God except for Jesus. And so he brings... It's like the Bible says it's foolishness to those that are perishing. It's like it's so simple it seems stupid. But that's the power. He brings a simple, powerful solution through the work of Jesus Christ and the good news so that the complexity of our relationship between us and God is removed and we can now have perfect union with the Father. And through that then, he calls us now to love one another, understanding still the complexities that will come because of our relationships. Jesus does not talk about this stuff from a place of not understanding. He had complex relationships with his family. He had complex relationship with his friends. He had very complex relationship with his followers. He was frustrated. He knew what it would be to have to put up with siblings that just don't get it and are annoying. He knew all of those things. But he shows us a way forward. And the way forward is through him. And the way that we now work that out practically and spiritually is via his presence with us, the Holy Spirit. And so last week we talked about Jesus addressing the issue of judgment and how silly it is when we judge one another and we try to fix each other's stuff without dealing with our own. And he uses that great analogy of the splinter in someone's eye and you're trying to get to it while you've got this big plank in your own and you just keep running into things and smashing everyone around your world trying to fix everyone's. And he's saying, first, before you do that, fix you. But what he's not saying is, I want you to avoid conflict. He's not saying, I want you to avoid confrontation. He's saying the way that you do it really matters. Because it has to be in line with the way I've shown you how to do it so that you again can be a representation of me, of how to heal relationships and bring health. And so it's not us about us avoiding confrontation. It's about us doing it in a way that he would like us to do it. To grow in our relationships, confrontation is required. But it is not just a matter of confronting each other with truth, but rather helping each other come to truth through love. This is the power of being good at conflict resolution. That you can actually bring about change in your relationships if you do this right and you do this well. If you don't do it right, you'll just keep fighting and nothing will shift and change. But when we do it through love and understanding, we suddenly approach it with a different attitude. And we're calling that attitude carefrontation. It's not that we're avoiding confrontation. We're just doing it with the right heart. We're approaching it from the right motive. We're doing it to heal rather than to stir and to kind of push. But let me get this straight with you. We are not avoiding it. Jesus did not avoid confrontation. He was a confrontational brother. He said some things that were reasonably confronting. Paul was a confrontational person. You can't read the letters of Paul and going, wow, I don't know if I would say that. That's pretty direct. But he knew that this was important because he knew that change is needed. If we are really going to be this community that says God is real and love is real, then we need to change. And quite often we're trying to bring change to other people, but the first person that needs to change is us. So Jesus gave us so much teaching, and Paul gives us so much teaching to grow up as a community, to grow up in our relationships, because he wants to bring growth and health into our lives. In Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, oh, actually we'll do a bit more than that, but we'll start there. It says this, so then, this is my appeal to you. Yes, it's me, the prisoner in the Lord. He's like saying, I know it's hard for you guys to do this Christian life, but I'm just going to write you and remind you, I'm in prison because of this stuff. So it's kind of important to me that you hear me. You must live up to the calling you received. The calling, again, is the calling that he has been preaching about and declaring all through Ephesians, which is a calling to pull down the walls of hostility and to come into a place of unity as one body in relationships and loving one another. What he's saying is you have to start practicing what you preach. You have to live up to the calling that God has given you. And we need to do this. You need to bear with one another in love. Be humble, meek, and patient in every way with one another. Make every effort to guard the unity that the Spirit gives you. The Spirit gives. The Spirit gives. We'll come back to that. With your lives bound together in peace. There is one body and one Spirit. You were after all called to one hope which goes with your call. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All those that are getting baptized, you are not just being baptized into a belief system. You're getting baptized in a very genuine, real change of life that is also outworked in a baptism into a community. So you're baptized into one body. Where am I? There I am. One God, one Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So that Paul is facing this great division in the community, and he's calling them to come to a place of unity. So he's challenging them. He's confronting this situation and saying how important it is. Because in our relationships, we actually function in a sense as a partnership. When we read that word in the Bible, it talks about fellowship. Don't stop fellowshipping together. One of the ways that we translate that word, and a really important way that we translate that word, is the word partnership. So we are going into a partnership together. And Paul is constantly saying, hey guys, don't let this partnership down. When he writes to Philemon, who has a runaway slave, he's saying, hey, buddy, I remind you of our fellowship. What he's really saying is, I remind you of our partnership, that we're meant to look like Jesus here. And the fact that you have a slave, number one, bow, bow, bring him back not as a slave, but as a brother. And the fact that you're holding to all this stuff onto him, you need to forgive him and let him go, because you're letting the partnership down. See, in relationships, we're a partnership and we are encouraging and helping one another to grow up into Christ. The purpose of this, verse 13, is that we should all reach unity in our belief and loyalty and in knowing God's Son. Then we will reach the stature of the mature man measured by the standard of the King's fullness. As a result, we won't be babies any longer. We won't be thrown this way and that on a stormy sea, blown around by every gust of teaching, by human tricksters, by their cunning and deceitful scheming. Instead, we must speak the truth in love. And so, grow up in everything into him. That is, into the King who is the head. Paul wants truth to lead. He's saying, guys, you need to come into truth and let that truth lead you. Because when we don't follow God's ways and God's truth, that's when we hurt one another. And he breaks that down further in this chapter, where he talks about the things we are to avoid that are come as a result when we don't accept God's truth and live according to his ways of how we're meant to do relationships. He talks into the areas of lying, holding on to anger, cheating and stealing, pulling down others with our words. But then he goes right into it, bitterness, rage. He even talks about yelling and screaming at each other. He says we need to avoid these things. This is not how we do kingdom relationships. We need to actually be a partnership that is coming and bringing truth, but we bring it in love. So in order to do relationships well, truth is needed, but slamming people with truth will not help them change. They might change for a little while because they're scared of you, but they eventually revert back to their patterns that they've had before. We don't just need to bring truth. We need to help people be brought to truth. We're not just bringers of truth. We're taking people on a journey into truth. Because that is when you see real change, is when your truth, rather his truth, becomes their truth. But if it's just your truth that we're beating people with, they will submit. They might change a little bit. Parenting is great for this. We're actually taking our kids on a journey into their own truth and understanding God's truth in their world, so that they're not just following some religious dictatorship or pressure. They're actually in a partnership and understanding that, hey, this is the way to live, because this is the way to be blessed, and this is the way to be free, and this is the way to have blessed relationships. One of the biggest contributors I see in long-term successful relationships, when I'm looking at some of you amazing married couples and people that have been in friendships for many, 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 many years, is what I'm surprised by, what keeps coming back is a consistent thing, is that you're just good at keeping communication open and resolving conflict. The key things to building long, successful relationship is keeping great communication going and managing conflict well.
If you can keep those things happening in your world, you can keep moving forward. But as soon as you stop communicating in a healthy way, and as soon as you stop resolving conflict in a healthy way, the relationship begins to die. But we don't want that. We want life and truth and hope. And it's amazing, you know, that we can start doing this really well, but over time, we slip. We can become too familiar with one another. And the person that we used to do life with and really have an understanding for and communicate openly with and really work on conflict well with, we become too familiar. And so it's easy just to kind of just disregard one another or put each other down or move on, because familiarity breeds contempt. But when we're recaptured by the awe of one another, I call it being recaptured by the awesomeness of people, and we regain respect and value for one another, we suddenly shift the way we do things and health begins to come back to a relationship. So we don't want to avoid. We want to bring truth, but we want to do it in love. So confronting in love. Now again, the Christian belief, I don't know why, but some people have kind of mistakenly put this thing on it that in some ways it's a belief that avoids conflict, that it just tries to keep the peace. But that's not true. We don't avoid conflict. Because here's the problem when you avoid conflict. When we avoid conflict because we're not willing to deal with the emotional side of it and it's a bit awkward or we just want to sweep things under the rug, they eventually come back. And they come back with a vengeance. And what it'll look like is you'll be having a chat with a friend and you'll say something or your spouse or your kid and you'll say something and it's just a little thing and they explode. It's just like, rah! They just rage on you. And you're like, wow, that response was slightly exaggerated compared to the trigger point. But then you realize that wasn't the trigger point. It was the 10 years of all this stuff you never dealt with that just suddenly one day went pop, boom, and it's just blow up. When you avoid things and don't do this well and hide it and just say it's okay and just put up with it and just listen, all you're doing is hurting your future self. You're hurting your future relationship. In fact, you're killing it. It's like a ticking time bomb waiting to blow up. So it's not about avoiding things. It's about dealing with them in love. Love is patient and kind, 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. I'm sorry, my love. Or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So truth in love, it thinks about things like timing. When we're confronting or carefronting, we're thinking about things like timing. Time is a beautiful thing. Because if you just wait, it allows you to do a few things before you address. First and foremost, it allows you to ensure that the truth you're about to bring is actually a truth that needs to be discussed, in that it is a deal breaker. It is something that is clear scripturally and within your culture and your family and your own world connection points and the things that you value. It is absolutely something that needs to be addressed, because sometimes we confront everything, but really what we're confronting is just a difference of opinion. That there is actually some things that don't need to be confronted. They're just, you do them differently. And so timing affords you to make sure that you're not just superimposing your own truth that is not a deal breaker onto something that is just, they're just different. Because we can grow from one another. If we're all the same and do things the same, it's pretty boring, kind of cultish, a little bit weird. But God has given us this incredible diversity in the way we do things. What we need to really think about before we confront it is this actually a deal breaker? Is this worth it? Is this actually something, or is it just, that's just who they are, that's how they are. They're not really, it's just, and it's a bit annoying, but the Bible says, We put up with each other when we're annoying. Okay, but then, so we set clear, and then we ensure, okay, yeah, it's a big thing, and it really annoys me, and they always do it. Well, have we set clear expectations with them? Some of us get so frustrated with one another over things we've never told them that frustrated them, us. Does that make sense? Like, set clear expectations. You might be clear on your expectations, but are they clear to your partner or your friend or your children? Like, have you communicated that this is an expectation? And when you've communicated the expectation, have you ensured they understood the expectation and that the expectation is reasonable? In that moment, timing has just saved you a lot of hurt before you come to this point. But then we need to pick our timing. We need to pick our timing. Sometimes it is best to deal with things there and then. Just deal with it. Band-aid, rip it off, do it in love, don't go crazy, but deal with it. We're going to deal with this tonight. We're going to talk about this right now. We need to talk about this. But other times you need to wait. You need to wait. Proverbs 15:23 says, "Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time." It's horrible to say the right thing at the wrong time. But the right thing at the right time, that works. So timing, pick your timing, but don't take too long. Again, don't let things fester and avoid things. Ephesians 4 says, "Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on you while you're angry. And don't leave any loophole for the devil." Don't let things fester and leave it too long because we're avoiding things again. Truth in love thinks about things like temperament. James 1 says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, get this straight. Every person should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Human anger, you see, doesn't produce God's justice." Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person stops them." Monitor your mood. Stay calm. Take a time out, honestly. If you can't deal with it in that moment, say, "Hey, we're taking a time out." But then don't use that as a tactic to avoid people, because they know that about you. "I'd like to take a time out." "No, you've had 50. We're avoiding now. We're going to deal with it." But do, take a time out. Calm down. Let it just slow. Be slow before you say anything, because it affords us the opportunity to seek to understand. Be gentle, don't be abrupt. It actually affects people's spirit. When you're abrupt, it doesn't shift anything. People just get defensive. How cool is this proverb? Proverbs 15:1. "A gentle answer deflects anger, but a harsh word makes tempers flare." It's like, don't pour petrol on the fire. Let's actually think about the way we're addressing things. Avoid toxic conflict at all costs. Things like criticism. I'm not talking about, again, dealing with issues and bringing stuff up. I'm talking about a critical spirit. You always do that. You never get that right. That is danger zone, people. That is like a relationship waiting to break down. Contempt, rolling the eyes. There he goes. That idiot, he does it all the time. Don't let that come in. Keep that high level of love and honor and respect in the relationship. Defensiveness from both sides. "Oh, well, if you didn't do this, then I wouldn't. Well, if you didn't, run. Before you know, no one's dealing with anything because we're all doing this. Stop doing that. Start doing this. Say, "Okay, cool. What do I need to own in this?" And calm the whole thing down. And then eventually you get to a point where you're just stonewalling and you're giving each other the silent treatment. I cannot believe how many people I talk to, relationships, marriages, that don't talk to each other for days. Christians. I'm like, do you know what you're doing to your relationship and yourself? What's happening in that days that you're just giving each other the silent treatment? Do you know what the devil is doing in your mind and the spirit of your relationship and just eroding? Don't stonewall one another. Don't build up stones and just kind of walls and divide. Keep open and honest with each other. Keep love and patience with each other. And finally, tact. Things about tact. Body language. Proverbs 15:30, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart." This is what we want. We want people to be able to go, "I'm ready." We don't want this. Your body language can set this off. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you see them walking towards you? Their body language says everything. You're like, okay, I gotta run. Stay back. Calm down. You'll be fine. Body language says a lot. We can say a lot without saying a lot. Speak with kindness and wisdom. Choose your words. Follow wisdom, not your feelings. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. So think before you speak. You say, yes, that's very obvious. Thank you. Think before you speak. I remember my mother telling me that. My mother did tell me that, actually. But we don't do this. It's fine when everything's great and we've got Kari Job in the background or Bethel and the worship is in the house and everyone's feeling wonderful, but have a couple of really bad days. It's amazing how quickly this thing gets away from you. But to stop and to think before you speak, there are some things you just can't take back. You can say sorry, but the damage is done. We need to really master our tongues and master our words. Speak with wisdom. Ask questions. Pastor Greg French talks a lot about this. He was speaking about this in our staff meeting. I just think this is brilliant. Don't bring answers, ask questions. Questions are amazing. They're so disarming. If you're in a job position and you're not the boss, but you feel like at times you've got some solutions and you're younger than your boss and you've gotten quite a bit younger, maybe in your mid-20s to 30s, and you feel like you see a lot of things and you can help a lot, he will not listen if you just come and say, hey, why, you're not doing it right. You need to do it like this. But as soon as you shift your tact and influence up by asking good questions, it's incredible what can shift in the culture. How you can actually have influence into an environment if you just stop pushing your opinion and rather ask questions. There's wisdom in that, asking questions. I find this amazing. Jesus asked 307 questions in the New Testament. And he was only asked 183. Of the 183 questions that were asked of him, he only answered three directly. The rest, this is annoying, Jesus is kind of like this. The rest, he answered with a question. What do you think? But that's amazing. That's so powerful. Hey, I know we've talked about this and I could be totally wrong about this, but do you think maybe this is working right now, the way we do this? What's happening here with us? Seems like you kind of, you know, I could be wrong. All of that pads it in a way that makes it accessible for people. And it's wisdom. It's actually calming down the environment. Questions are so powerful. Ask questions. The purpose in a man's heart, Proverbs 20, is like deep waters. But a man of understanding will draw it out. When you are good at asking questions, you help people come to truth rather than bringing them truth. Because once they catch it, once they say it, that's revelation. That brings change. This is the power of good conflict resolution, is you can actually bring change in your relationships. You can actually grow with one another and not just put up and be frustrated and angry all the time. You can actually do this better and confront things and not avoid them, confront them, but confront them in such a way that they feel so loved that you become a partnership. You're on team. You're doing it together. Yeah, we can do this. We can do it. And finally, we forgive. We're ready to forgive. We approach it with the heart to forgive. And we patiently remind. Because trust me, I know you've said it like 1,000 times, ladies. He still hasn't heard it. That's why Jesus is like, seven. He's like, how many times we should forgive? 70. Try 7 times 70. You guys just take a while to get this stuff. But then Luke adds in his Gospels, he says, forgive 7 times 70. Forgive any sin where they are willing to repent. He doesn't say forgive everything. He says forgive those things where people are willing to repent. So on the other end, if we're receiving forgiveness, that's awesome, but we need to come with an attitude. Even if it takes 700,000 times to do it, we're going to keep working on this stuff with an attitude to move forward. Sound good? But all of this, again, has an intention in mind to reflect Jesus. But that only happens not by following rules, not just following good ideas. It's actually being led by His Spirit. So I want to pray for us here right now. Can we just stand and just close our eyes and open our hearts to God?
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.